Lord, we love you.
Amen.
We just tell you from deep from our heart.
Amen.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It is love that motivated you.
Amen.
Oh, to come down from the throne.
Amen.
To empty yourself. Even to become a slave.
Amen.
Not only to take the form of a man,
Amen.
But becoming a true slave.
Amen.
Even a slave obedient unto death.
Amen.
At the death of a cross.
Amen.
The kind of punishment reserved for prisoners.
Amen.
Malefactors.
Amen.
Oh, but you took that upon yourself.
Amen.
Lord, there's nothing within you but love. Christ, love us.
Amen.
And die for us.
Amen.
Make himself a sacrifice to God.
Amen.
On our behalf.
Amen.
Lord, this morning constrain us all.
Amen.
With your love once again.
Amen.
Lord, we brothers here.
Amen.
Gather together for this training.
Amen.
Lord, bring us all into this realm of love.
Amen.
Lord, that our service may not be something legal,
Amen.
Something as a requirement,
Amen.
Even something merely as a commission,
Amen.
And something just as a calling.
Amen.
Lord, bring us into the realm of love.
Amen.
Lord, we're here to serve you,
Amen.
Serve your church,
Amen.
And serve your people,
Amen.
All because of love,
Amen.
Just as you did. We like to be one with you,
Amen.
And become your duplication,
Amen.
Become your replication today.
Amen.
Lord, put the same heart in you within us.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
This morning, ask us as you once asked Peter,
Amen.
Do you love me?
Amen.
Do you love me more than these?
Amen.
Lord, we would answer, we do.
Amen.
We love you, Lord. You know we love you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, speak to us to shepherd your sheep,
Amen.
To feed your lambs,
Amen.
To feed your sheep,
Amen.
As the proper leading ones,
Amen.
As the true elders.
Amen.
Lord, with such a heart,
Amen.
With such a burden,
Amen.
With such a love,
Amen.
Lord, bring us into this realm. Bring the eldership in every church into such a realm.
Amen.
A realm of sacrifice.
Amen.
A realm of willingness.
Amen.
A realm of readiness.
Amen.
Even a realm of martyrdom.
Amen.
Lord, to lay down our soul life.
Amen.
As you once did.
Amen.
Lord, for the flock's sake.
Amen.
For the sake of the sheep.
Amen.
Lord, we just pray that you will meet with us once more. We give to you all three sessions.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you again, Lord.
Amen.
Meet with us.
Amen.
Speak to us.
Amen.
In a deeper way, more than ever before.
Amen.
We look to you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Well, we still need a little bit of a, well, we say test. But really, I don't know what it is. this morning, I like to do something different, not just to, you know, for you to regurgitate or just say something about what, you know, about the content. I want to go deeper. I want to find out where you are. And, you know, to get into these things, there are many ways. You either get into them in an obligatory way. Is that the word? Yeah, or in a perfunctory way. Just, well, I sign up for the training. I better get into it in a minimal way. And brothers, I like to tell you that way doesn't work. It doesn't work. It is not fair to the Lord. Certainly, it is not fair to you.
Amen.
Here you are, you have signed up for this training for a year, and yet you take things in a light, minimal way. That's not right. You see, that's not right. The attitude is wrong already. I don't care what. The attitude is inherently wrong. With the Lord, and with the things of the Lord, and with the things of the church, we've got to be serious. Very serious. What we are doing here is more serious than everything in the world. You see, I see actually the number even of these meetings decreasing. See, look over there. There's at least four or five rows empty. I still remember the first time we were in this room, right? I think so. This place was jam-packed and even somewhat overflowing. And now we have not only those five rows empty, we have this back row empty, and maybe that back row empty. Now, the brothers may all have some legitimate reasons to be absent. I know there is, for example, a funeral, you know, down in Southern California. Therefore, Brother Jim Miller and some other brothers from San Francisco are not there, are not here because they're down there. I just am concerned that over time, this training will be diluted. Or the spirit and the seriousness and the consecration that is necessary for such a training would be diluted. That is a shame. That is a real shame. How many times, brothers, we do things with a good beginning, but with a poor ending? This seems to be almost customary in the Lord's recovery. All got stirred up, all jumping up and down, just to start something. Then we end with a dud. We end with almost nothing. We have done too much of this, too much of this. And brothers, we cannot repeat this. I don't care whether it is about the church, it is about some kind of a work. That is not the way. That is not the way. We should, as we go, become more and more burdened, more and more dedicated, more and more given to something. Right? As they say, it is not how you start, but how you end. Amen. It's not how you begin the race, but how you end that race. I really, really hope so. Let us encourage one another, Amen. Shall we? Let us say no to that kind of a bad tradition. Let us make a difference this time. Amen. We say the Lord wants to renew the Bay Area, the churches, the work. Let him renew us individually. Amen. Let us renew this group of brothers first. Amen. Otherwise, the churches will never be renewed. Amen. If you are not renewed, Amen. Your disposition, your habit, your kind of way is not renewed, how do you expect the churches to be renewed? You know, there's a verse in Titus that says, grace training us. Grace training us. Training us to what? To live in a certain way, in a godly way, in a, you know, in a proper kind of a way. And the context of that, I believe, is in Titus, is what? Is about our living, our conduct, even our behavior, adorning the teaching that we receive. Are you with me?
Amen.
Our living adorns, beautifies, adds to the teaching that we receive. And we certainly have received the highest teaching from the Bible. Am I right? Through this dear ministry, we have received the top teaching. The top teaching. the deepest kind. But it requires grace. The grace of God wants to train us to live in a way that adorns that teaching, to have a conduct, to have a life that beautifies, that vindicates, that expresses that deep teaching. You know, the problem really among us very much is that gap, that distance between what we know and how we live. There's always that kind of distance. Now, in a certain sense, that distance is normal, even I would say healthy, if you know what I mean. In other words, what we know and what we see should always be ahead of where we are. That will spurn us, that will motivate us to pursue, to persecute. Am I right? Yeah. To never be contented and always reaching forward to what is before. From that angle, this is healthy. But on the other hand, to what? To have the teaching over here, wonderful teaching over here, that you can spout, you can speak, you can say something about. And yet over here, your kind of, or our kind of living is not matching it. Is not matching it. It's not matching what we know. And after a while, I will tell you, that will become a kind of hypocritical existence. A hypocritical existence. You see, we know so much, but how are we living? Leading brothers or learners or elders or whatever. How are we living today? That's the question. Well, this training, hopefully, is to give us some help to bridge that gap. Remember, right? As we will see, last month, we were on the first four sessions on the qualification, right, of an elder. But as you will see today, even those three marvelous outlines, you would agree with me, touches somewhat the outward aspect, the outward qualification. Today, we will have the last word, this time from Peter, 1 Peter, that co-elder, Peter. Not only the Apostle Peter, but the elder Peter wrote something. Amen. And that speaking on the qualification of elder, of an elder, is some way a lot deeper. Then we go on to the second session on the what? Spirit of a slave. I tell you, this is deep. This is a lot deeper. Right? Then, of course, we get into the teaching of the elders. Well, I like to ask the churches where down on West Peninsula. Of course, we cover San Francisco already, right? So let's say the church, what is the next one down? Burlingame, and then Palo Alto, right? How many brothers are here from Burlingame and from Palo Alto? Okay, very good. Almost a dozen of these brothers. Well, I like you not to just give me all the points. Elder has to be hospitable, this, that, and the other. I like you to share something with us, how you have been pursuing these things. Amen. In your locality. How you have been pursuing these things. Number one. That's the first question. Number two, how you personally have been touched? By which point? And how did that affect your life? And how is that stirring you up to pursue that very point or some point of qualification according to last month's fellowship? Right? Number two. This is number two. Number three. How has these one quarter of a training, three times, right? One quarter of a training been affecting your corporate leadership in your locality? How is it affecting? Or it has no effect? Now, I am, of course, not looking for something miraculous. In 3 months, your church is turned upside down. I'm not obviously talking about that. But if after 3 months there's no effect, that is neither right. Neither right. We are people of extreme. Either we want something to happen tomorrow morning, or if it doesn't happen, it never happens. Actually, I would say from month to month, just with three outlines and messages, it should have material effect on the leadership of the church. If the brothers are really serious in their pursuit and in their application of these things, right? Okay, so may I have these brothers come up, these two churches come up now. Again, you don't need to tell us all the points, all these things. I want to hear from you these three things. And you'd be free. You'd be free to say something about these three things in a genuine way. If you fail in these things, you also be honest about it. We're here before the Lord. You don't need to perform. You don't need to. I want to know where you are. And there's nothing better than hearing from you to know where you are. All right? So you don't need to be long. You just take each one, take at the most a minute and say something in response to one of these questions. You don't need to answer all three. You just touch one of this in a genuine way, representing yourself or your locality, and that will be good enough. Okay? All right. You just go. Again, I don't need you to tell me these outlines. I know them already, right? Of course, if there's some points that has really touched you, of course, refer to them, but not in that kind of a just giving back a message way. You understand. All right? Okay, go, brothers. Just fellowship. Okay. Even though I said that all these qualification from the last three outlines are outward, but they are still important. Amen. Don't forget these qualifications. Amen. Each one of them, Brother Lee dove into and got to the essence of it. Not just something outward, but there's an essence in each one. Amen. So let me just conclude and repeat myself again. Some of the brothers said, I cannot do this, right? He said, I'm scared because I cannot do this. I'll tell you, it's not about doing this. Don't follow the poor Israelites. We will keep the law, right? The next thing is they broke it, right? No, it's not about that. Whether you can do it or whether you cannot do it, is mainly about getting into them. Just get into them. You don't worry, I can do it, I'm qualified, I'm just not qualified. You get into them. Amen. You just bathe in them. Amen. Bask in them. You just get yourself filled and saturated with these things. Amen. And you will see the difference. Amen. If you're serious, you will see the difference. Amen. If not, you will not see the difference. It will be just another binder on your library. Just another binder. That's it. What a shame. What a crying shame that would be. All right, thank you, brothers. Yeah. All right. I feel it is important for this next lesson 10 on the fourth matter of the fourth outline on the qualification of the elders. This time, as I said, we leave Paul and we come to our brother Peter. And Paul had many words, many verses, and he did a good job. Peter, 5 verses. Just 5 verses. But do not underestimate Peter. These 5 verses are too deep and too crucial, as we will see in this outline. All right. I think it is important that we read these verses, so please turn 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I say, if possible, memorize them. Memorize even these 5 verses. Maybe frame them and put it right in your room. Okay, let's read. Therefore, the elders among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, overseeing not under compulsion, but willingly according to God, not by seeking gain through base means, but eagerly, nor as lording it over your allotments, but by becoming patterns of the flock. And when the chief shepherd manifested, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In like manner, young men, be subject to elders, and all of you gird yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resisted humble, but give the grace to the humble. All right. Actually, verse 6, we should read as well. Let's read. Therefore, be humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. All right. So let's come to the outline. I am very impressed that Peter spoke these words, these brief words, in his first epistle as a fellow elder. As a fellow elder. Surely he wrote these epistles in the position of an apostle. Surely he did that. And an apostle he was, Peter. I'm trying to take a look at the beginning of this epistle, what he said. Yes, exactly, precisely. Peter, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Am I right? I lost it again. An apostle of Christ Jesus to the sojourners, etc., etc. So Peter, certainly wrote this epistle from that position. But here in chapter 5, in these few verses, he turned his attention to the elders among these believers, these saints, most of them Jewish believers in Diaspora. I exhort you, who am a fellow elder. Here, Peter brought up his particular qualification, particular position. Not just an apostle, but a fellow elder. The Catholic Church exalted the apostleship of Peter forever. Maybe even in our mind, this is how we think. But let's consider today the eldership of Peter. The eldership. Let's know this man. This first disciple of Jesus as an elder. And here he spoke his words as a fellow elder. Of course, he was an elder in the church in Jerusalem. And by being an elder, he learned many things. But Peter, in all his writing and all his speaking, never forgot what he received from the Lord. So if you go back to the earlier parts of Peter, for example, in chapter 2, where he spoke about what? About we are living stones. And we come to the Lord as that living stone. And we are to be what? Built up into a spiritual house, etc., etc. Clearly, Peter never forgot how the Lord changed his name. 3 times, I think, not just once. Covered in the Gospels. His name was changed. He is to be a transformed stone for God's building. So that memory is what gave Peter the basis to be that first apostle. He received the commission as such a one from the Lord in several cases, and especially in Matthew chapter, 16? Peter, you have seen this revelation. It is not from flesh and blood, it is from the Father. Right? And then the Lord said, what? And upon this rock, I will build my church. And I will give to you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom. Right? To open the doors of the kingdom, and which kingdom we know is actually a synonym to the word church. Therefore, on the day of Pentecost, he exercised the first key, the door to the Jews, to come into this kingdom of God, the church in the New Testament. Then in Acts 10, he did that, opened the other part of that door, or the second leaf of that door, and that is the door for the Gentiles to enter into this kingdom. That was his fulfilling his function as an apostle. Am I right? We're clear. But Peter not only remembered that and spoke about that. Here in chapter 5, when he took the position as an elder to speak to his co-elders, he remembered the Lord speaking to him in other occasions. And principally in the end of John, the Gospel of John, at the seaside of Tiberias, by that great sea or lake, where the Lord prepared the breakfast, am I right, all these things, and then spoke to him, giving him the other side of the commission. And this time the commission of the eldership. You may say Peter is not only the first apostle in the New Testament, but probably the first elder in the New Testament. in the church in Jerusalem. And there, the Lord speaking to him was not about the stone, not about the rock. The Lord speaking is about love. Do you love me? And based on his answers, the Lord charged him to go and feed his lambs and shepherd his sheep. Feed his sheep and shepherd his sheep three times. And that sheep refers obviously to the flock of God, and that is his church. So here you can say Paul at the sea, at the mountain he received the commission of his apostleship. Here by the sea he received the commission of the eldership. So here he spoke to his co-elders, mainly talking about shepherding the flock of God, overseeing God's flock, watching over them, and so on and so forth. All right? I just want to give you that as a backdrop. To me, it is quite impressive. Now, let's come to the outline. I rely, again, not so much on my speaking, but on your studying and getting into these things. Romans 1, let's read. The elders among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory to be revealed. Very interesting. After he said, declare his position, he said something further. Alongside of being elder, who he was, his status. Number one, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and B, a partaker of the glory to be revealed. I hope in our consideration of the eldership, when we think about elders from now on, we will not forget these two other things. Number one, witness. Number two, partaker. And they are in that order. Witness not only of Christ, but of his sufferings. And partaker of the coming glory. All right. A. Peter exhorts the elders as a fellow elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory to be revealed. One. Although Peter is directly referring to his own status, all the elders should be witnesses of Christ, especially of his sufferings, and partakers of the glory to be revealed. You see, brothers, again, let me just emphasize. When we read the Bible, when we read the ministry, it is good. Once we lay hold of the revelation of that word, of that passage, immediately, we should what? We should apply it to ourselves. Don't allow that word to remain objective, just a revelation. Do your best right away to apply that. Lord, what about me? If I am an elder, what is to be a witness of your suffering? What is to be a partaker? Lord, make me such. You pray this way right away. You see? Apply the word right away. Okay, two. This indicates that we should live a life that is absolutely one with Christ. A life that is Christ himself. Such a life is the life of sufferings in this age and a life of glory in the future. It is not just about, okay, I'm going to suffer for Jesus. I'm going to enter into the glory. No. Here, the emphasis is we should live the same life as Christ lived. The point here is not you trying to be this or that. The point here is your oneness with him. Your oneness with the life that he lived. Your oneness with him in his sufferings and your oneness with him in glory. The main point is to be one with him. So to that brother who was scared, I would say, don't think about you need to do this, you need to do that. Your need is to be one with the Lord.
Amen.
Our prayer is, Lord, not just, Lord, make me a good elder, but Lord, make me one with you.
Amen.
So that I can be a proper elder.
Amen.
You see, brothers? That life that we ought to be one with, or that we seek to be one with, is a life of sufferings in this age, and a life of glory in the coming. That's what it is. 3, the Greek word translated witness also means martyr. If we are martyrs, those who share in the sufferings of Christ, we will be partakers of the glory in the coming age. Brothers, to be a leading brother requires the spirit of a martyr. Yes, you heard me right. Again, if you really touch these things, how can you just naturally, ambitiously want to be an elder? That really means you don't know what is to be an elder. To be an elder, you have to be ready to suffer. You must have a mentality of a martyr, to suffer along with the Lord for the saints and for the church. B, the qualification of the elders are not matters of ability, but altogether matters of their life, living, and person. If you think to be an elder is to have some glorious position, to have some honorable position, you're wrong. Or if you think to be an elder is just a matter of capacity and capability, smarts, you're also wrong. These words from our brother Peter indicate to us that the qualification, we're still on qualification, of the elders is not about ability, but eventually about their life, how they live, their living, and their person. One, being a witness who shares in the sufferings of Christ and being a partaker of the glory to be revealed are matters not of what we can do, but of what we are. You can do a lot, but you're not a martyr. You're capable, but you're always self-preserving. Then you are the wrong person for the eldership. The elders are those who lay their lives down for the sheep, as the Lord Jesus said he did, as a good shepherd. A good shepherd is one who lay his life down for the sheep. No matter what we do in the church as leading brothers, every act should be one of sacrifice, one of laying down our soul life for the brothers and sisters, for the sheep. That is a true elder. Not of lording over, not of ruling, as we will see. Totally wrong concept. 2, it is possible to be a very capable person, yet not be a witness of Christ or a partaker of glory. Therefore, we should care more for what we are than for what we can do. A very famous, phrase among us in the recovery. 3, an elder should be a martyr, sharing in the life of Christ. We should live a suffering life because Christ, who is still the suffering one today, is life to us. Of course, this is famously spoken by Paul. He said in Philippians what? To know him, right? And to be what? In the fellowship of his sufferings. And in Colossians, he say what? We are what? We are suffering together with him. That suffering, of course, we know, is not the suffering of redemption. That suffering of Christ on the cross, we can never partake. It is blasphemous to say we share in that. But we do share in the church-building suffering of Christ.
Amen.
That suffering of the Lord on the cross are of these two aspects, the side for redemption and the side for the producing of the church. That suffering is not finished. The suffering for redemption is once and for all. He accomplished eternal redemption on the cross. But for the producing of the church, and particularly the what? The building up of that church, that suffering is still going on.
Amen.
Now today, it is up to the body of Christ, his servants, the apostles, the elders, and even the saints, to continue living that life, to have a share in that suffering. And for us, brothers, to take the lead, which means to be the examples, to be the lead sheep, am I right, in the church. It means we need to take the lead to suffer, as Christ did, for his body's sake. And so how can you just wish to be an elder just to be a king, to control something? No, no, no. No, it's altogether wrong. An elder should be a martyr, number three, sharing in the life of Christ. We should live a suffering life because Christ, who's still suffering one today, is life to us. I think I read that. Four, such a living prepares and qualifies us to be partakers of the coming glory.
Amen.
C, the main thought here is that the eldership depends not on what we can do, but on what we are and of the kind of life we live. Brothers, I'm very burdened about this point. Very, very burdened about this point. What is to be an elder? It is to live a life of sacrifice, to suffer for the church, to suffer for the saints. Now, maybe in this country, we're not talking about physical martyrdom, but surely there's a lot of psychological martyrdom needed. For you to be inconvenienced, for you to have less time with your wife and family, for you to have to tend to the affairs of the church and the welfare of the saints. All this requires time, requires energy, requires certain sleeplessness, requires certain inconvenience. A lot of these things are in principle a kind of laying down of your soul life for the saints' sake. Are you ready to do this? Or are you just full of complaints, full of murmurings when you do these things? Paul says, gladly I will spend and be spent. Underline the word gladly. Here, Peter's word is not gladly. Peter's word is not by compulsion, but willingly,
amen,
with readiness of mind,
amen,
to suffer for the saints.
Amen.
A local church is blessed when they are leading brothers who have this kind of life, this kind of oneness with the Lord. That church is blessed. Two, shepherd the flock of God among you. Now, we're not here to, so to speak, expound this passage. No, we're here to pick out the points relevant to the qualification of elders. Shepherd the flock of God among you, A, in order to understand the concept of shepherding and martyrdom in 1 Peter 5, we must remember the words of the Lord that Peter heard in John 10 and 21. Peter heard the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We need to pray read this. Even this week, this month, pray read this verse. Until it reaches deeply into you. Until you are one with this shepherd, this chief shepherd, in the way he laid down his life. Two, after the Lord's resurrection, he found Peter and asked him, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. The Lord responded, shepherd my sheep. After the Lord charged Peter to be a shepherd, he prophesied that Peter would be martyred. Isn't that interesting? You remember that. Remember that. After the charge, Peter said, what about this man? Before that, the Lord said, Peter, when you're young, you go wherever you want. But when you get old, you'll be led to places you don't want to be. Somewhat prophesying about the way Paul will die. You know, the history said, whether this is absolutely true or not, that Peter eventually died in Rome in the same way that his master died on the cross. But supposedly he said, I cannot die the same way as the Lord did. And so they hung him upside down on the cross. True or not, I do not know. I do not know. But the fact that Peter was martyred should be the case according to the Lord's word. So Peter understood that and said, what about this man, referring to John? The Lord says, what is that to do about you? Whether he will die, he will live, you just follow me.
Amen.
You just be faithful to my calling, to my commission. Peter remembered this. Sheep feeding. Flock shepherding cannot be divorced from suffering and being a witness and being a martyr. It goes together. That's the way with Peter. That's the way with us. B, to be an elder requires us not only to be humble, temperate, and sober. You know, we cover these things. But also to be ready to suffer as a martyr for the church. Are you ready? Your church. Let's forget about the big church. Your local church. Are you ready to suffer for that church? Are you ready to die for the saints? Or are you there just the King, the Lord? We need more martyrs. We need more witnesses in the lead, with that kind of a spirit. You know, that happened in China. I mean, physical. You know, I don't want to say too much in these, frequently in various oppressive countries that do not allow freedom, you know, of the practice of religion, of Christianity. They persecute. They don't go around and catch the saints. They always catch the leaders, the elders, and put them in jail. And in that country, some just 7 years at one time. 7 years at one time. And sometimes several times a year. Some are in jail for up to 20 years, leading ones. Not the saints. The saints let them go. Leading ones into the jail. Years. There's one brother, you know, that touched Gretchen. You know that story, the sister, so much. Because he was totally in jail for over 20 years. For years, he never even seen the daughter that was born to him. It's real. It's real. That is a real elder. Let's go on. Where am I? B. 1, huh? As the good shepherd, the Lord laid down his life for his sheep. Today he is the chief shepherd and his fellow shepherds. We must follow his pattern to sacrifice and live his suffering life as martyrs for the flock of God. It's a self-denying life. 3, the eldership requires not only that we give hospitality, but also that we give our soul life in martyrdom. We must give our life and our being for the church. I'd like to say a word to that brother again, to all of us. When we read this, we will say, who can do this? I'm scared. I don't want to die. Maybe I should drop out of this training, right? Well, anyway, it is not for you and I to do. Let us seek to be one with the suffering Jesus, right? With our head, with the Lord, and take him and take his grace. 3, let's read. Overseeing not under compulsion, but willingly, according to God, not by seeking gain through base means, but eagerly. Here Peter uses the word overseeing in his word to the elders. To oversee the church is not to rule it, but to safeguard, preserve, and protect it as a shepherd oversees a flock. Now here's the context, the historical context. Both in Paul's writing to Timothy and here Peter's writing to his co-elders, wherever they were, the background was that at that time there were a lot of wolves, you know, wolves coming in to attack, to assault the church with all manners of heresies and evil teachings, including in this case the Judaizers, to undermine the apostles' teaching of God's New Testament economy, to devour them, to try to get them away. And then, of course, you have Satan himself through all manners of persecution to try to weaken the believers. The world was coming in. The devil was a roaring lion, right? You will see later on in this chapter, seeking to devour the believers. Against such a background, the picture here again is the flock, the lion, the predator, wanting to devour sheep. And oftentimes going after the weakest sheep, the sickly ones. This is the background. And it is against this background Peter spoke to the co-workers. Your job is to preserve, safeguard, protect the flock of God. This is your responsibility of oversight. Now today we may not have that kind of a background, but in principle, brothers, your job is to protect, to safeguard, to preserve the saints. And remember, the weak sheep, the sickly ones, are always the one that the devil will pick out first. We need to be watchful, even of the weak sheep, the sickly sheep, the backslidden sheep, and all the sheep for that matter. Some are under psychological assault. Am I right? Some are under spiritual attack. Am I right? Some are under even physical troubles. You see, our job is to watch over. Now you see, brothers, what is to be an elder? It is all these things. The visitation of the saints. The caring for how they're doing. We need more brothers with this kind of spirit and heart to do the real work of an elder. Not under compulsion, but willingly, means not by constraint, pressure, or force. This is like a mother's care for her child. This is above and beyond, you know, your pay grade, so to speak. I get paid so much, I do this job. And I don't get this pay, I won't do that job. There's not such a thing in the eldership. It's not about compensation. It's not about reimbursement. It's not about your pay matching your job description. It's about a certain spirit, a certain attitude. Not by compulsion. You're not forced to do this. You're not pressured into this job. You just have a heart, a love, a care for the Lord's flock. This is His flock. These are His sheep. And you volunteer yourself to help Him, so to speak. To care for them, like a mother care for her child. According to 1 Timothy 5:17, in the ancient times, some elders were supported financially by the churches. That's clear. And today, also the case. The elders who are full-time. Thus, there was a temptation of a material gain. That's why Peter talked this way about not seeking gain through base means, but eagerly. We must overcome the temptation to seek gain through base means. We must earnestly love the saints and be willing to give our life for them without any thought of material gain. No thought, just no thought at all. Whether the church gave you something, forgot to give you something, whatever. No thought. You just, in your heart is not money. In your heart is the saints and their well-being. Number four, let's read. Nor as lording it over your allotments, but by becoming patterns of the flock. Elders should not lord it over the saints, because the church is not their possession. The church, which includes the elders, is the possession of God. So we have no right to lord over the saints. Jesus is Lord. Only He is the Lord over the church. Be an elder should not be the Lord and should not consider the church or the saints His possession. See, and especially not His private possession, you know, so-called the church in your pocket. That's a shame. See, instead, he should be a pattern. The elders being pattern indicates that they're on the same level as the other saints. Brothers, this is very important. Never set yourself up as higher than the saints. Even in your consciousness, you are not higher. In fact, you are not higher. We're all under the same head, the same Lord, even the elders. We're just patterns, that's all. We're the lead sheep, that is all. We are at the same level as the saints. As we will see in the next message, we're actually lower than the saints because we're slaves to them. This requires a change in our concept. Five, let's read. When the chief shepherd is manifested, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
To receive the unfading crown of glory is to be a partaker of the glory to be revealed.
You know, when I read this, I'm always quite astounded that there's a particular kind of crown called crown of glory that is reserved for the good elders, for this kind of elders. It's quite something. This is not a common crown for a victorious saint or an overcoming believer. This is a special crown for the suffering elders. It's called the crown of glory. I don't know what that crown looks like. I don't know. I just know there's such a thing for elders.
To receive B, the Lord is the chief shepherd, and he became a martyr for his flock, and in a sense, he is still suffering. Therefore, the elders, who are his fellow shepherds, must also suffer for the flock with the view that someday they will be with him in glory.
You know, the apostles, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, are co-workers together with God. That's the apostles. The elders, they are what? The fellow shepherds with Christ. What a noble position. He is the shepherd. We are fellow shepherds with the Christ to shepherd his sheep. My goodness. My goodness.
All right, number 6, let's read. In like manner, younger men, be subject to the elders. And all of you gird yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble.
It's quite interesting. When he spoke about elders, he brought in younger men.
The phrase like manner implies that the elders are on the same level as the younger brothers. He said younger men be subject to elders, those who are elderly, and including the elders of the church, for sure. But you all, young and old, elders and the regular believers, all of you gird yourselves, you know, like wearing an apron.
You know, the moment you put on an apron, right away, that is a statement. You are at somebody's service. You know, I go to a restaurant. They all wear an apron. I don't wear one. They don't give the customers an apron to wear. Am I right? The apron is the sign, the symbol of someone coming lower to serve.
And here it says, gird yourselves with humility. Our apron has a name. It's called humility. Toward one another. Because God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. The phrase in like manner, I read that already, B. The elders girding themselves with humility indicates they are serving ones. The elders must reject any thought that they are higher than others. As elders, we must not rank ourselves differently from the other saints. Instead, we must consider ourselves lower than the others, because we serve the saints. D, in the eldership, there are two main temptations, base gain and pride. One, if a leading brother loves love for the church causes him to labor to take care of the church full time.
And we need more full-time elders, by the way. We do. As the church grows, we need more brothers to go full-time, not to run around to be a co-worker, but to serve that church.
The saints may honor him by giving him material support. However, if his intention is to gain the support, he is seeking gain through base means. We must reject this temptation. Two, the other temptation for the elders is to think that because they are elders, they have a special rank and are higher than others. Those who think this way have fallen into the pit of pride. The pit of pride. So, brothers, to take the lead in the church, forget about material gain, and never, never think that you're better or higher than the brothers and sisters. Okay? This is so helpful to me and so calibrating to me and very, very exposing to me. As I check my eldership, and I'm an elder also, I feel I'm quite short of this. I do. Quite short of this. But may the Lord have mercy on me and have mercy on all of you. How about we have a minute to pray with this word, and then we can have a break. All right? Amen.